The following program is an MLWRadio.com production.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of the Eastern Lariat Podcast, your show for news, notes, reviews, and opinions on the world of Japanese pro wrestling here on the MLW Radio Network. I'm your host, Striga, as always joined by my man, Dylan. I forgot we are on Cage Match 2. Hi, Dylan.
That's right. You can't forget that. We can't be forgetting things. Not on this monumental edition of the show. Finally, ending our G1 journey.
Yeah.
Covering the Grade 1 Climax 2023, the 33rd edition of the tournament, with a new vision for the company, which happens to be the same vision that I've had multiple times at this point. But a new vision nonetheless that we will talk about, and we will cover everything involved, all of the ins and outs. Look back. You look back to look ahead, and that's what we're doing today. First of all, want to say happy birthday to my grandma. Turned 69 today.
Wow.
So hopefully everybody has a good day. Got some stuff coming. Got a cake. Well, actually, it's a pie. Now that I think about it. But, there's a pie. Going to make a roast that she likes. Mamma's going to have a good day today. And hopefully we start off with a good day right here on the Eastern Lariat for all the people out there. So thank you, everybody who's listened to not just this show, but especially if you listen to all the shows. I really appreciate you, because I know there's a lot of people that, you know, you get G1 fatigue, and the tournament wasn't always super well received, or at least not a lot of the stuff they did was super well received this year. So to those who listened, it really means a lot, and I just want to say thank you guys so much.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for listening to our coverage. This is always my most favorite time of the year. You and I always getting together like every 2 or 3 days to do a show on the G1 Climax. We did one actually while I was in Hamburg in my hotel room. That's how important this coverage is to me, that we really are on the forefront of getting a comprehensive look on this tournament. And I really thought we did, and I hope that everybody enjoyed this. And yeah, this is the conclusion of it, basically.
Absolutely. Well, hey, listen, when you do stuff from Hamburg, that's when you know it's serious. Okay. That's what the people need to understand right now. People cannot disrespect Hamburg on this show. Where are you at? But it was so good to do all of that. Yeah, I totally agree. I had a ton of fun doing it. Like I said, lots to talk about. Good and bad, positive and negative, happened at the tournament. But even if stuff is maybe negative in the tournament, it's interesting to talk about. I will say that. So yeah, That's the one good thing about it. And, everything going on. I mean, there's a whole world of wrestling that's what I was really impressed with, actually, is that we were able to talk about pretty much everything. Like, as the tournament went along, nothing really got left out too much.
No.
So I was very happy to see that.
Yeah, absolutely. On the world of wrestling, I quickly want to say that I was at WXW Shortcut to the Top yesterday. It's their annual version of the Royal Rumble. They always have some undercard matches there, of course, too. I was really a big, big fan of Axel Tischer versus Peter Tihany. Peter Tihany is a wrestler from Hungary who is now the head trainer, or one of the head trainers, of the WXW Wrestling Academy. And, of course, Axel Tischer, formerly known as Alexander Wolf in WWE. They are having a Best Out of 5 series, and they had a great match in Oberhausen yesterday. Of course, Tischer, being the more experienced wrestler, he's 2-0 ahead going into Oberhausen, but Peter Tihany regained the victory there, so opening up the best of five series. He didn't lose, which was important, of course, there, and it was just a great match. I enjoyed this tremendously, and I enjoyed the Rumble as well, too. Of course, in an hour-long match, there will always be downtimes where the fans are not that into the match, but overall, it was a very good Rumble, and I thought, all in all, a very good show. This was the first live pay-per-view they actually ever did, and I heard that, for the most part, the stream was going well, so it was a good day for WXW yesterday.
The home team for you.
Yeah,
you came in there and they had a successful show. Good to hear. Good to hear all that going on there. But that sounds pretty good. I've always been an Axel Tischer respecter.
He's tremendous in the ring. We said it yesterday when you just look at him work. He makes everybody that he works with better.
And that's what you want, especially you know, in a promotion like that. Obviously, they've gone through some rebuilding times in recent years, and they're doing some big things to hopefully get back there and do, you know, raise their profile once again. New live show they had. That's really cool to see.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to be at their tech festival as well in September. Also a heavy Japanese wrestling influence there. The Astronauts are going to be there for Minoru Abe and Takuya Nomura. Your team for your fantasy draft, Dylan. Then Shigehiro Irie and Mitsuki Watase, they are rejoining for their Renegades tag team. Hopefully not with Sami Callihan, that is. And GCW is going to be there too, holding two shows while the Tag Fest is going on. And Rina Yamashita is going to come to Germany. So I couldn't, but buy tickets for these shows. So I'm going to be there. Originally wanted to stay home because I'm going to Prague the day after the Tag Festival finishes, so I'm going to have to look how I keep up with my schedule to not be too tired when I board the bus on Monday morning after the Tag Fest.
You're globetrotting. Once again, you're so busy, you gotta go to all these places for no reason other than you just desire. You basically are on top of the world right now, and look where it's taken you. Rina Yamashita.
Yes.
And that, yes. Which is where I would want that.
It took me to actually buying a ticket for a GCW show.
GCW? In Prague?
No, in Germany.
Oh, okay.
WXW is running the Tag Festival, and at the same weekend, GCW is also there holding two events.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Like I said, I said I would go too if Yamashita was there. I don't know about midnight, to be honest. But you are the one that takes those steps that you know, other men would not. So you are proving yourself once again as the true connoisseur of German wrestling.
Yes, not only German wrestling, but Japanese wrestling as well. And I want to, before we go into anything, Dylan, I want to tell you that I have a new favorite finish in pro wrestling. And it happened today in a promotion called 2AW. They ran their show, of course, in their home square at 2AW Square in Shiba in front of 46 fans. And we had, in the second match of the show, Ayumu Honda defeating the Chiba Man, Dylan. The Chiba Man lost to Ayumu Honda in 9 minutes and 26 seconds because he was eaten by 1,000 man-eating sharks on the outside of the building. RIP, Shiba Man.
Rest in peace. I mean, that sounds like a very tragic thing. I don't know why. How was this allowed to happen? What about safety regulations? Why were there sharks outside of a building?
That's a good question. I guess the 2AW Square is right near a river or the ocean. I don't know.
Is there like a moat around the building in Chiba? Is that how this works?
Let's find out where 2AW Square is.
Did they build a moat around the arena?
I don't think that Google has an answer to that, so I need to check on Google Maps where the 2AW Square is actually located. This is great journalism right here because
this is ID investigation discovery,
yes,
right now.
Yes.
We're discovering the water length next to Chiba Arena.
The uncharted waters around 2AW Square.
Absolutely.
Ah, there's actually a river. Mm-hmm. The Miyako River. So maybe the sharks.
Sharks don't go in rivers, Striga. Don't you know anything about sharks?
You're supposed to be a teacher. I'm just reading this. I'm just reading this finish here. Do you think they are lying to? Do you think this pro wrestling company, Dylan, is lying to me?
Well, that's the one thing we know would never happen. So it's clearly. Christ. I think they just walked in. You know, they got out of the water and attacked this poor man.
Okay, then we have a bigger problem.
That's true. See, it's clear you've never seen certain Godzilla movies. But, or else you would have known this was a possibility. So if you and the Japanese government, which you also apparently have power over in this situation, somebody needs to call Godzilla to get his ass up here and attack those walking sharks. Or what's going to happen?
Yes, we need some help here. I don't think that Chiba Man can help anymore.
And who do you turn to when you need help? Godzilla, of course.
Yeah.
He's got a new movie coming out. It looks freaking awesome. Where are you at, Stray? You got to get on your game right now. You got to get Godzilla on the ball.
I'm calling Godzilla right when the show is over.
Good.
Yeah.
That's all I'm trying to make happen, people.
Well, how do you transition from Godzilla and the man-eating sharks to Tokyo Yoshi Pro Wrestling? I have no idea. There's no transition. But the Princess Cup 23 came to a conclusion this weekend with two shows. And I don't know, Dylan, I don't know if this weekend was a good decision to hold these shows, actually. The scheduling was...
Why would you say that, Strigo? You're acting like there's some big events happening on the same...
Yeah, I'm acting... Man, Noah ran a triple shot in Currican Hall. Parts of them head-to-head to the G1 Climax, and TJPW did the same. I don't know what these companies are doing right now, but... apparently, it's not really successful. So, yeah, Currican Hall was, half full, I guess, if you put it positively. 525 fans for the second-to-last show of the Princess Cup, which actually I thought was a pretty good show. I enjoyed this very much so. I watched the semifinals first and then the rest of the show this morning after, or this this afternoon after the G1 Climax finished. I really liked the Mio Yamashita versus Yuki Arai match. I know that you're not a big fan of Arai, but I thought that she made a step forward in this tournament and actually added some to her arsenal and looked better, I thought, in this tournament than she looked in singles matches before. Of course, we've said it in the last show that she was paired with probably the best wrestlers on the roster. Still, though, I think doing these matches helped her a lot, and she will be, of course, a main focus going forward. But here, Miyu Yamashita put her away after the skull kick. Great finish here once again. While in the main event of that show, Yuki Kamifuku defeated Rika Tatsumi in a good match. Not a tremendously good match, but I think that also Kamifuku gained a lot in this tournament. I probably would have switched the matches around, wouldn't you?
I would have done a lot of things different.
That's another question, yes.
Yeah, if it were me...
If you have these two matches, what would you do?
Well, Yamashita winning is obviously going to be a better thing, but, I mean... Not really, because they wanted to have a surprise, like somebody making it a surprise challenger.
Yeah.
So I get it. It doesn't matter. Neither of the matches were good to me, so it's fine.
Okay. Wow. Tough words. What did you think about the final today?
I haven't seen this match yet.
Okay.
But, I mean, considering who's in it, my expectations are low, I would say.
It was by far Yuki Kamifuku's best match of her career, definitely. And I thought that you brought a lot to the table, actually. But since you like neither Arai nor Kamifuku, I don't think that this match is going to be for you, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't believe the ratings for that Arai and Miyu match. Like, yeah. 8.34 for that? I mean, that was like a WWE rating, you know, where it's like, we're on planet Earth. Like, and I don't know what planet I'm on. But it wasn't the one where that was like a 4-star match, to say the least. But, I mean, the thing is with them, though... It's almost like it doesn't even matter, like almost like about how good their wrestling is anymore. They're just they're an interesting company, Tokyo Joshi Pro.
Well, actually, they are not, because they don't have a lot going for them actually right now. We said it on our last show that they are not hot in any way. They really had trouble in the last couple of months getting fan attention behind them, and you can see that. For the last Currican Hall shows they did, they were really poorly attended.
I was more interested in Toga than the two of the semifinals.
Great. Told you in our half year was that she's great. Toga got her first victory with great looking. What was it? Was it pickup slam almost like a version of Uranagi and Alabama slam at the same time.
All of their rookies are good. Like, that's my favorite part of the company, generally. The young ones. So, like, they're doing some good things. Even Suzume got a win, so that was pretty cool.
I was kind of disappointed that the match only got 6 minutes, because I'm into both Yuria Nagano and Suzume, and I think that these two have a much, much better match in them, but they were just paired for a very short undercard match.
Yeah, that's true. I guess, you know, Yuria really hasn't been doing a lot lately, to be honest. Maybe they're trying to, like, protect her or something by not putting her in the ring as much. But I like her, too, and I definitely like Suzume. So, you know, that's nice, I would say. The tournament as a whole, I would say, was pretty cold in general. And it's a shame because, you know, on paper, you have this major story for them, which is Miyu finally winning the tournament after 10 times and usually being the one that loses right away. And they've gradually built it over the years. Last year, she started to advance more, finally. And then this year, she wins it. But it just wasn't... There just wasn't a lot going for it.
Should have been a real tremendous moment with a hot crowd behind it. And it was emotional for both Kamifuku and for Miyu Yamashita. For Kamifuku, of course, because she made it so far. And for Yamashita, because of winning this for the first time. But it's really hard to get behind a tournament like this where just... It feels, much like you said, it feels cold. And this show today was better attended. It didn't go head-to-head with the G1 Climax. It was the early slot in Currican Hall, which probably helped in getting a better attendance. 657 fans. There's still a lot to ask for, I guess, for the company. Miyu Yamashita is now going for the title. She's going to wrestle Mizuki at Wrestle Princess 4 on October 9th. And at that same show, we're also going to get a singles match between Maki Ito and Nyla Rose. None of these are matches that are actually all that exciting. The main event is not a new match, not a hot match. Yeah. They haven't been really teasing anything between these two. It's just a match that's going to happen.
Yeah, the tournament itself, I mean, there wasn't really anything. I mean, like I said, Arai advancing all those rounds is going to take away your opportunities to have good matches, but I would say there was like one good match in the tournament, Tatsumi and Shoko, that I would say, yeah, y'all should watch that. And there were a couple of others that were pretty good, but one that really stood out was that one. And when you have a tournament like this, you want to have multiple people that have gained something from it. They tried with Arai and Kamifuku, but it doesn't seem like it took too well. And it definitely, that will never appeal to me, seeing like people like that, like, clearly idol wrestlers, ultimately. And it doesn't seem like it connected with too many people in general, based on that. I mean, the one a couple of weeks ago was even worse than these two shows. It was like 400.
That's true, yeah. Under 500, yeah.
See, so... like you said, Miyu and Mizuki, that'll be a good match. It's just not exciting. That's all. So, but I mean, that's kind of their MO, is going to the old guard.
Sure.
You know, it's not like... Yeah, so I do actually appreciate them at least trying to with different people, you know, overall, trying to get some new people in there. But in the end, I mean, it all came back to Miyu and Mizuki, so I guess we're kind of in the same place where we're always at.
Yeah, more or less. Yeah, that's definitely a big issue for the company. And with someone like Yuka Sakazaki leaving, they'll even have less big matches if they're not... And what they're not, they're just not advancing any more wrestlers to a bigger level. They are trying with Arai and Kamifuku, of course, but will they ever reach a level like Yuka Sakazaki? That's questionable.
Arai will get there eventually. I mean, they put all of their eggs in her basket, pretty much. So she will get there, even if, like it or not, I guess you could say. I don't know if I've seen a lot of improvement in her wrestling, to be honest, over the years, but she will get pushed, clearly. Like, they put a lot into her. So that's something, at least. She feels a little different than their other undercard talents that they have. So, we'll see. I mean, you look at this tournament and compare it to the Stardom one, and it's like, two galaxies. Like, it's like a gap of talent so wide that it's hard to really even comprehend how this happens. You know, when this is... You know, it's one of those things I was thinking about, actually. And I am happy that the G1 final was able to do a big number.
Yes.
At Sumo Hall. They were finally got out of their rut a little bit. They made some moves. We'll talk about it when we get to that. But throughout this tournament, I was thinking for a long time because, you know, I looked at all of the attendances for the G1 from last year to this one.
Mm-hmm.
And this year was behind them until the very last show.
How about that?
Yeah, like this show was the one that finally made them eclipse last year, which is not good.
When no. You can,
like, that's supposed to be, everyone made this big deal about restrictions and things like that opening up. And then you see it at how little difference it really made, ultimately, outside of the final show, which did put them over the top. But then you look at the whole scene in general, and especially the Joshi scene, it's even more pronounced. Stardom's doing some good things. They've hit a little bit of a rough patch the last few months in general, but, you know, you look at Stardom, they're a healthy company doing good things. Then you look at the rest of the scene, and it's like, this is the Dark Ages again.
Yeah, pretty much. I guess there's no way around to sugarcoat it.
Yeah, like, I mean, there's no even remotely, like, in terms of, because the thing is, TJPW, there's not even any talent, period, really, pretty much, outside of a handful of people. The rest of the scene, you have talented people, but not the depth of them in any other company, pretty much. So it's like you see the big gap between everyone else, and it's like, man, what's going on here? You know, that's kind of how I look at the scene sometimes. It's like, because I want to see everyone be healthy and do good, but
yeah,
I don't know.
And the thing is, too, when you see these shows and there's just this low attendance, it just makes everything feel a bit minor league in comparison to shows that do much better than these. For example, like the New Japan shows from Saturday and Sunday, which did good business for the company. And we can jump in right here with Pro Wrestling Noah as well. They ran a triple shot in Kurikan Hall. And the first show did 622, second show 661, and the third one on Friday, finally, a big jump to 926. That's more where they should be and where they probably want to be. Yeah, the tournament itself, the show that I watched, the first one with a very low attendance, I enjoyed the show. I was very much into the Timothy Thatcher and Yoshiki Nomura match. I liked that a lot. I thought that Jake Lee and Yuki Yoshioka had a good match. Everything on this show basically was on a good level. Probably the best match, I'd say, was the Goshi Ozaki and Yuma Anzai match. So most of the matches were good. It doesn't necessarily go for the main event where Saxon Huxley beat Nakajima. That was not a good ending to the show. Once again, here I would have swapped the matches. I would have put Jake Lee and Yuki Yoshioka in the main event. But they wanted to have Saxon Huxley look big in the main event. Yeah, the show quality-wise was good. The crowd that was there was into the show. But once again, Kurikan just looked so empty with 600 in attendance.
Yeah, this is a different case than the TJP show. I mean, they have talent. Like, Noah is a good company when it comes to talent.
And they also should have stars.
But they're ran by idiots. So is their problem, ultimately. Yeah. That's why we're at here. But, I mean, the shows themselves have all been good, I think, overall. To me, the Go and Yuma Anzai match was a standout on that second show. Yep. I mean, there was a lot of good stuff. I thought even Inaba and Soya like had a good match in the opener.
Soya's having a great run in this tournament.
Yeah, he's really motivated here at doing some big things after the Congo split. I guess he's taking that emotion that he showed and turned it into a good thing overall. So I really like his run. And Inaba, too, is heating up. And his match with Nakajima was another great match, I thought. So you see guys like that. Yuma has been the MVP to me. The first night, he got so much more out of Lance Anawai than I thought he would. And it's clear that he was a little underrated, I think, watching him, comparing him to Huxley.
Yeah,
especially.
Absolutely.
I would say so. Lance doing some good things. Yeah, totally. Jake, he's kind of... You know, because that match with Yoshioka was all right. I didn't think it was too special. And when you see two names like that, you wanted to see a great match.
Yeah.
And I don't think you really got that overall. No. I think in general, Jake has, feels like he's been in second gear the whole tournament. He really needs somebody like to get what we saw versus Sugira out of him, or like even the Nakajima match in April. That needs to be brought out of him, you know, pretty clearly, in my opinion. But you know, everyone else I think has done pretty good. Keno's had some good matches overall. The match with Yoshioka was good, I thought. And the match with Inamura was good as well. You get a lot of good stuff on here. And but yeah, like everybody's doing good. Like I said, I really don't have any negative comments other than Huxley, I think, is kind of the worst person in the tournament, yeah, pretty much.
The guy apparently blew both of his knees out in the N1 Rumble. And I don't know how he's doing that, but he's still wrestling.
Listen, yeah. You've got to fight. You've got to fight to win the N1 victory. You got to fight.
This is a great opportunity for him, obviously.
Yeah, and he's a champion, so they see something in him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah,
like what it is. But the Anzai and Soya match was another good one. That wasn't as good as the Inamura match or Anzai's other matches, but still was a good match. Yeah, so good tournament. Dr. Wagner Jr. doing good stuff as well. At the tournament, he had a great match on the last show they had, the one with Go in the main event. That was a fantastic match, I thought.
Great.
Yeah, good Go. He might be the MVP. Like, his matches with Anzai and Wagner, they
yeah,
might
right
be
now matches. He definitely is, when I'm listening to you, yeah.
I mean, you can have your own opinion. You don't have to just listen to me if you think somebody else
I haven't seen the matches yet, so I can't really tell.
Oh, okay.
The first of the Kurokan Ultra Bullshit.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sorry. I'm rambling on about stuff you haven't even seen. I was wondering why you weren't saying anything. yes, those are all good matches, I guess you could say. And the tournament's fine. Jake, like I said, kind of a letdown as the champion. You want to have more fire. He really is a lot like Sonata as champion. Like a good wrestler, wow. But just not... There's just not a lot to him, ultimately, to bring it. You have to have it brought out of him.
Maybe we should have him handcuffed to the ropes.
Well, thankfully, no, they're not doing that. What about Go's new look that he has?
Man, he's going through a period in his life that you could maybe describe as a midlife crisis. I don't know.
Well, he loses the flower on the next show.
So. Oh.
He's gradually going back to the old Go, I guess.
Okay.
Maybe he's had a lot of different looks.
Crisis is over.
Yeah, his whole career is like a midlife crisis. look at how many looks he's gone through.
Sure, yes.
Go back to him as a young lion when he won the championship the first time, the GHC, him and All Japan. All of these looks are dramatically different from each other. So, this is the latest.
Big divorced father energy, right?
He wrestles so good, I don't care what he looks like. So,
he gets passed.
Yeah, exactly. He can wear whatever he wants if he keeps having matches like this overall. But yeah, it's a good tournament, honestly. You have to hope that there was... I mean, maybe there's some reason, like the buildings were cheaper or something, because we were talking about this.
This has to be the reasoning.
Yeah, it would be a good idea to have shows after the G1 ends rather than when it's going on, but...
Yeah,
that's not happening. So
no, they did all their shows during the G1, not head to head with the G1. You can't really say that. But now that the G1 is over, there is no N1 show for 1 week.
Yeah, and you see the attendances, and you think that would have something to do with it as well, as running it around the same time as the G1 and during the G1.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're off for a week. Now the tournament's over. So we'll see what happens. But it's been a good tournament overall. Shout out to Jonathan Foy, who was in attendance for these shows.
Shout out.
Yeah, I got to meet Kawada at his restaurant. Yeah, we were talking about. And good rave reviews for Noah and Kawada here, which is the real most important thing. But N1, good tournament. I would definitely recommend watching it, honestly, if you just want some good, solid wrestling. And nothing stupid has really happened in the tournament so far, other than Inamura losing all of his matches. But
yeah, but there's a story behind it, at least. And we'll see where that leads him. So this tournament most wrestlers are at 4 points, while Inamura is at 0-4. The exceptions are Jake Lee and Masaaki Tamiya in block A. They are at 6. Adam Brooks and Jack Morris in block A are at 2. And Yuma Anza and Daiki Inaba in block B are at 2 as well. And the tournament continues on the 19th in Sapporo. They have a double shot in Sapporo on the 19th and 20th. And then they go to Sendai on the 26th, Kawasaki on the 27th. And that's the end of the block action. And then there's the final on September 3rd. Yes, that's it for Pro Wrestling NOAH. The final for the G1 Climax happened in Sumo Hall today. They had a double shot there. First on Saturday, they had an attendance that, by a small margin, did a better number than Altogether did. And remember when we talked about the Altogether number, we weren't really impressed by that. We thought that wasn't really a success. Would you say, Dylan, that the number on Saturday they did for the semifinals was a good number?
The Altogether number was definitely not a success. You know, they didn't go through all of that just to lose out to Dominion at the end of the day.
That's right.
That was definitely not a success at all. In the context that you have, again, the tournament has been not the greatest, I would say, not in terms of the quality of it, just in terms of where they're at drawing wise. Like I said, they were behind last year's up to and after that show at the end of the day. So yeah, it helped them overall. I think the final show is probably much more indicative of the success than the second one, but it was all right. You know, that's about where they're at right now. Again, you have to look at where they're at in terms of look at everywhere else they go and what they're drawing at all of their other shows. Mm-hmm. I think it was all right. But I mean, ideally you would have wanted more, like if all things were right. Like I said, you don't want to be just now passing last year at the end of the tournament. You know, if everything was how we wanted, but where they're at in reality, yeah, it was a pretty all right number.
It was all right. And the number for the second show was 8,283. That is much, much better. That is, I put it on our Twitter at Eastern Lariat, that is closing in to what they were doing before the pandemic in Sumo Hall. The last show, I pointed that out too on Twitter, that did a really outstanding number was in 2019, King of Pro Wrestling 2019, with over 9,000 fans. So this show today with the final between Tetsu Naito and Katsushika Okada did a great number for them, considering the circumstances, of course. And you'd think that there was a really strong walk-up to this because of the announced final. And we are looking at these two shows. There was a lot that happened on the undercards on both shows. We really don't have to go into the matches because all of these matches followed a very similar formula. They were multi-man matches, and they basically all got 11 minutes. When you look at all the match times, it's really striking that all these matches are around 9:37, 10:05, 11:03, 10:50, 10:25. Going back to yesterday's show, what did we have there? 10:57, 10:57 again. So all of these got told, yes, you got 11 minutes. And what happened on the first show is Oleg Bolton, he won the Young Lion 3 consecutive battle. And I would really love to see these matches. I told you on the last show that I was going to watch these, but I can't. They're dark matches. I would really love to see these Young Lions go to work. And he gained a shot for the New Japan World Television title against Zack Sabre Jr. That's probably going to happen at the Road to Destruction Tour. By the way, they're calling him Bolton Oleg on on their shows and in Japanese too. We were having a debate on Cage Match whether we call him Oleg Bolton or Bolton Oleg. The thing though is that one of our members on Cage Match told us that in Kazakhstan they, similarly to Japanese, they write the family name first and then the first name. So in that case, Bolton Oleg would be the correct version of the name in Kazakhstan and in Japan as well. But since we swap around names on Cage Match as well when we go for Japanese names, we go the route that we do the first name and the family name. Then, for the time being, we decided, or did we decide? I decided that, actually, for myself, when I do results, that I, for now, go with Oleg Bolton, because it seems like the way that we always go with swapping around names. That's quickly for an explanation there. And yeah, on this show, after that, the Bullet Club War Dogs, they attacked the winning team of Tamatonga, Tangaloa, Hikoleo, El Fantasmo, and Gedo. Hinare attacked Eddie Kingston after his match and hit the Street of Rage on him. Of course, Eddie Kingston returned the favor on the show today. And then there was a lot more happening on today's show. After Kaito Kiyomiya scored his third pinfall victory on this tour again against Hiroyoshi Tenzan in an undercard tag match on Saturday, he invited Ryohei Oiwa to join him in Pro Wrestling Noah, and Oiwa said, yeah, I'm going to join you. What did you take away from that, Dylan?
Young guy, no one needs those. So now they have one in Oiwa, and Oiwa gets to go on a little bit of an excursion. They did this years ago when they had Sho. He was actually in Noah Junior Tournament at the time. So, you know, it's okay. I mean, there's nothing really to write home about, I would say, but it's cool. You know, it's nice that they did something with him, gave him something, you know, you got out of it. And hopefully, well, a good big guy wrestler. He has horrible hair. Not a fair of his hairstyle.
He does.
But a fine young wrestler, though. Hopefully he has much success.
Yeah, I was wondering, after they had something for Kosei Fujita very early in the year, the other Young Lions were treading water for the time being and doing really nothing on these cards. Oiwa is getting something now. I'm wondering what happens for Yuta Takashima, because he feels a bit left behind. Him and Oscar Loibe right now don't have anything. Oleg Bolton has his shot for the television title. Oiwa goes to Noah. Kosei Fujita goes to America and to Australia. Let's find something else for these two to do.
I think you'll see a lot of matches with them wrestling each other. You would say. So that's kind of their MO with the young guys right now in New Japan. Mm-hmm. But a good young crop. All of those guys have talent. Though I would say I like them all in their own ways, so that's interesting. I will say, I guess I'll save it for when we talk about the final, because I do have a point on that.
Okay. Yeah, so what else happened? Shota Umino and Ren Narita, they were on opposite sides of an undercard tag match as well, and they brawled after the match, hinting that these two are going to have another match, probably at the Destruction Tour. They had a time limit draw during the tournament, so this only makes sense. This also helped Ren Narita get a little shine on him, because he definitely needs it, because you can clearly see, we talked about that also, that Umino and Tsuji are clearly those that are much more in the focus than Ren Narita.
Yeah, you can see it, and the crowds react much bigger to Shota than they do Ren. And they should, based on how they've been presented so far and what they've delivered in their big matches, too. So, you know, it's a good rivalry that they have here, like something between the two. You could question a lot of different things about how things went in the tournament, but they're both talented guys. Narita, I was a fan of his wrestling. He really seemed a little shook throughout most of the tournament, but he ended it on a high note. I thought the match with Kaito was his best match. And Umino, I also thought his match with Kaito was his best match earlier in the tournament. And you have an easy story with them. So let's see where they go long term, if they build anything more, if it's just a destruction match and Umino can just get a win over him.
TMDK, they beat the team of Goto, Yoshihashi, Taguchi, and Oleg Bolton. Haste pinned Goto following the Tank Buster. That's the double team move he and Mikey Nichols are doing. So they are getting a tag title shot. They provoked the champions after the match. And similarly, Tama Tonga held the Never Openweight title up after the fifth match, while Hikuleo and El Fantasmo posed with the strong openweight championships, though, so they laid out the challenges there. Hikuleo and Fantasmo, actually, Dylan, they're actually a team with some history. They teamed together when they were both in England in 2019, so it's not out of the blue that these two are teaming. Probably not my favorite tag team, I gotta say, and not too hyped about that match. But TMDK versus Yoshihashi and Hiroki Goto should be really good.
Yeah, we're going back to where we were a few months ago. Like, these are all rematches of stuff. Yep. Not a lot of depth in these divisions right now, I think you could say.
That is right. For a division that at least gained one more wrestler, it's the IWGP quote-unquote British Heavyweight Championship Division, because Ospreay had his US title redesigned and it's now a British heavyweight title. We have two British heavyweight titles now. We have to decide who is the real British heavyweight champion now.
No, it's just the UK title.
Okay. Is it?
Yeah, that's what he said.
Okay. I thought it was a British title.
No, it's the UK. I mean, it makes perfect sense when you think, oh, US and then the UK, you know, so it's a totally different, the British heavyweight. He represents the whole UK.
I see. Okay. Yes, but Yota Tsuji, he challenged Ospreay for the title after he gene-blasted him into oblivion with a great-looking spear. I think this is going to be a great match for Yota Tsuji because Ospreay will do a lot for him. Of course, Ospreay is going to take away the win, but at least for Yota Tsuji, I see another match where he can look really strong.
Yeah, the match should be really good. I think he would be better served, though, like with a steady climb upwards rather than have these one-off title matches. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if that's really the most effective build to anybody, really, but especially not him, a guy who's a beast and has everything it takes to be a main player.
It is, though. It's always been their way of handling these young wrestlers. You've seen it a lot of times.
I don't know about that. I don't think their way is to give them world title matches in their first match back.
No, but their way is to give them big matches that they lose in their first months that they have after excursion, usually.
I think it's, you know, it's different when you're putting them in these major matches like this. You're giving people expectations. I mean, remember the match with Sonata. Everybody wanted him to win.
Yeah, but absolutely. That was a different situation, but now he's back basically in this role where a lot of the young talent is, that they claim matches against bigger stars and ultimately come out losing at first. Now he's much more in the usual tracks of young wrestlers in New Japan Pro Wrestling. That's my point, actually.
And that would have been fine if they didn't do what they did before.
Absolutely.
So, like, you know, we can't make up that didn't happen. However,
no, I'm not making it up. That's not my point.
You know, but the thing is, but it's worse because of that. You know, it would be okay if they didn't do that stuff.
Right.
At the end of the day, is what I'm saying.
He should be higher up now.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you already dipped your toes in those waters at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. So why do we have to do what they've been doing with him in the tournament?
It was pretty awkward, too, here, because Shingo Takagi and Will Ospreay are going to have a match on the All-In weekend for Revolution Pro Wrestling, and the focus of the match should have been on them, but after the match, Shingo looked at Ospreay, but Yota Tsuji took the title, and Shingo said, okay, I'm backing away.
Well, yeah, Shingo. you want to talk about a mid-carder? Like that's where he's at right now. Unfortunately, they pretty much proved that in the tournament, I guess you could say. But I mean, great worker though. Both those guys. Like, Tsuji has all of the upside in the world. They really have a hit on their heads if they want. But he's in a tough spot because he's in the same faction as Naito, so he's always going to be a second fiddle player.
For how long that actually will be the case.
You think he's going to leave LIJ?
I think he's going to leave.
Oh, okay. That would be interesting, at least. Like, that would give him something. I think the LIJ stuff would benefit him, though. Like, it kind of benefits.
They said it at the beginning of the match, actually, here, that when he challenged Sanada, he would have also challenged Hiromu Takahashi. It didn't matter for him who he would have challenged. So I'm thinking that this LIJ thing, similarly to what Will Ospreay did when he joined Chaos back in the day and betrayed Chaos, was a vehicle for him to gain footing in New Japan Pro Wrestling. And when Yota Tsuji is done with LIJ, I guess he's going to leave.
Yeah, but he was with Chaos for years.
Yeah, that's true. But he also left.
So I guess Tsuji could be there for years as well.
He could. I'm not saying that he turns tomorrow. That was not my point.
Well, anything could happen in 5 years from now.
Sure.
Sure. Like, I mean, of course. And they should. Like, at that point, like, when you're talking years down the line, yes, of course, Naito should be out of the main event by then.
Yes.
But we still have to get there, though. And I don't know. I think it's a good thing to be an LIJ, though. Even being a second guy.
For now, definitely, it's a good thing for him.
Yeah.
For how long that will be a good thing.
And I mean, it really helped Evil and Sonata when they were in there.
Yep. They were there for years too. They ultimately left as well. So that could be the same thing for Yota Tsuji as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, that makes perfect sense when you think about to follow their footsteps. But I think that they've lost a lot since they left LIJ. And hopefully he has more to him than that.
Well, you can really claim that they lost, but sometimes it's not to their own fault, I guess, because when we look at the next match, the ideas they have for these two, man. So, Evil, Yujiro, Sho, and Dick Togo face Sanada, Taichi, Yoshinobu Kanemaru, and Doki. Sho, first of all, pinned Taichi, which was a big upset. Sho is now apparently going for the King of Pro Wrestling title. Evil attacked Sanada after the match. Then they handcuffed him to the ropes. And Evil had the ring announcer read a message where they are dipping their toes into what fans are saying online. And they said that Sanada is not a good champion and he should hand over the title to Evil. Yeah,
well,
and
we had this
visual of Sanada hanging in the ropes, beaten down, handcuffed, and Evil standing in the ring. We are getting the title match in October, and I said it on the last show. The idea here is to put Sanada over strong as a babyface. The idea in this one was to put even more heat behind Evil, to have Sanada have an even bigger comeuppance at the end. The thing, though, is this comeuppance will not be big enough for Sanada to wash away the images that we have in Sumo Hall right now of him being the champion being ridiculed and hung on the ropes. That's not going to be erased by Sanada just beating Evil at King of Pro Wrestling.
It's such a cold match to me. Like, Sanada and Evil, two guys that aren't very popular at the end of the day going in there.
They really should have caught an audible here because they saw what they did in the match in the quarterfinals, and we know what the match is going to be. There is no redeeming quality in this match.
I did get multiple comments after the last episode we did about you dooming on the last episode about Evil maybe making the final of the tournament and winning the title. It's clear that you were very into that theory, based on your actions on Twitter when we had the poll.
Well, I just laid out scenarios that in their thinking could make sense. You
that
said it
true.
Yourself on the other
no,
show.
It's not just me, though. You convinced many. Look at the poll. Like, more
yeah,
people
yeah,
voted
Evil,
for Evil.
Even by a small margin, Evil beat in our poll for the winner.
Yes, very small margin, but still. Regardless of that, it was like 11% to 10% Evil won. But regardless, most people did.
Ads. Okay.
I think you did a good job of convincing people. And like what you said was not reasonable, to be honest. It was like very realistic if you think like them. But maybe that is a step too far in the long run. And I definitely think Sanada will beat Evil over the title. Did they say when that match is going to happen?
No, they are having a press conference tomorrow morning. But I'm expecting that to be the one match.
Like they always do at King of Pro Wrestling.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah, exactly. Because I was wondering if they would think about do that earlier. If they feel like they do need to call an audible and get the title off of Sonata.
Yeah, but that's not happening.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the thing is, him versus Naito makes all the sense in the world when you consider Sonata's story, which is beating all of the LIJ guys, and then he finally faces Naito. So it's like it makes sense. It's just he's a bad champion, and apparently they know this based on this angle, you'd think, okay, we know he's a bad champion. We're going to say he's a bad champion on our show, You would think that maybe you wouldn't have this bad champion go undefeated in his block and not put over anybody that you would maybe have hopes for, like a Tsuji, for example. But what do we know, Strigler?
Well, we know that we definitely had a semifinal and a final at the G1 Climax. There's no need to go into any details for the Okada and Evil match. Just think about any Evil match that you've ever seen. That's the match.
Plus, I thought there was a great comment on Cage Match about this in the reviews.
Okay.
Let me credit the right person here. Who gave this review here. I don't want to steal his points. Okay, Kill Owens Kill. Where, long story short, to summarize the comment, because that's a good paragraph. He was basically saying, why does this match have a good rating and other matches have bad ones? Just because Evil lost? Like, that just made... Yeah. Like, if he wins or loses, that makes the match better or worse?
I think that's the reasoning for people to like an Evil match better when he loses.
Which is stupid.
I know.
Like, that makes no... That's ridiculous, but I agree with him, because if you look at the ratings, the ones where he loses, because the thing is, you and everybody, and even me a little bit, we all were worried that Evil would win. So when he doesn't win, it makes us happier that we didn't have to deal with another Evil match. It's tough because for a heel, you want the heat to be that the babyface overcomes the odds, the obstacles, and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But with Evil, the heat is we're just happy. The pop is that this match is over and we don't have to watch him anymore. Like, that's why people like it, because he wasn't going to go to the finals. We didn't have to see another of these stupid Evil matches. Is that effective heat, I wonder?
No.
Yeah.
Not.
Yeah.
That's my entire point on Evil for the last shows.
Well, it's my entire point on Evil for years.
Yeah.
everybody can see, like, anybody with sense can see that that's true. It just makes you wonder, why are they doing this at this main event angle, which they haven't done for so many years? Again, he was a cold guy going into the tournament, all things considered, and now we're doing this, and Sho getting a King of Pro Wrestling shot versus Tai Chi. They're really going all in on this this House of Torture stuff going into the next pay-per-view, so interesting.
Well, hasn't it been real successful in 2021?
I guess they hope now that the restrictions are gone.
Now, yes, the same argument. The restrictions are gone, now it's going to be successful.
Yeah, exactly. It'll all work out now. There, even though it really didn't in this tournament, but whatever.
Yeah. For you, Dylan, for the fan of the great reversal sequences in New Japan Pro Wrestling, what did you think about the reversal sequence between Okada and Evil, Rainmaker versus Evil?
It's stuff we've seen before anyway. There are other matches, so it's nothing I didn't expect going into it, to say the least. But was it good? No.
It was a great dance routine they did.
Exactly. And I'm never a fan of that, even when it's with good wrestlers, let alone with Evil.
Yeah. The second semifinal, the main event of that show, Tetsuya Naito versus Will Ospreay, currently at a rating of 9.64, by far the highest rated match of the tournament. What did you think about this match?
Oh, it was a great match. I wouldn't say it was probably that high rated in my mind, 9.64, but it was a great match. Like, up there was among the best matches of the tournament, I thought. And you got to see Naito go in there. I thought it was interesting that they did such a good job of building this kind of story at the end around Naito's concussion, that they had there.
Yeah, and basically because Will Ospreay really hit him with a super kick in the end.
Yeah, absolutely.
Straight in the face.
Yep, that's right. That was interesting, and I thought they did a great job with it, though, to be honest with you, to work the match after that, and everything was okay. Naito worked the final of the tournament fine, and it was a good match overall, I thought.
Yeah, I thought it was really great. I think I'm higher on the match than you are. I thought the pacing was great. I thought the selling that Will Ospreay laid out here was great. He, in the end, had to drag Naito to the finish line, because, much like I said, the super kick really hit, and I think it knocked Naito really loopy. Great spots here too, with Naito missing the Stardust press. He always goes back to Stardust Genius Naito in these big matches, and it's sometimes to his detriment. Here he landed, he didn't land the Stardust press. Ospreay was out of the way. Ospreay himself landed his Leap of Faith move, but Naito kicked out to a shocking facial expression of Will Ospreay. And in the end, we had multiple Destinos once again. And the final one was basically a vertical drop Destino, the way that Will Ospreay took it. And of course, Naito, much like he did in the match with Okada in the final, he went after Will Ospreay's neck. And that made sense in the match as well. So great first half too, with the methodical work there. And then the high pacing came in the end of the match. So really well-built match and great, great kickouts, great high-impact moves. I was really into that. I probably won't go as high as this as well, but between 8 and 9, I would rate this match as well. I thought it was great.
Oh, it was definitely, yeah, I mean, what you're saying is definitely true. I get 8, 9, yeah, I would definitely go for that. I mean, it was a great match. I thought they had great chemistry with each other, too, here. Like, their work really went well together. Naito, he has an extra bit of believability to his selling now that he's older and broken down. And we're kind of getting to where I said a few episodes ago, to where he came through where it mattered most with his big matches. And now everyone will say he had this great tournament overall, despite yes. the early struggles he had. But I mean, this was a great match. I'm not disparaging it at all.
No, sure.
It's one of the best matches of the tournament, if not the best one.
It was. I'm debating right now, Dylan. I'm not sure, but I think that I like the final better than the Naito and Ospreay match. How about you?
That's interesting, because I think I agree with you, actually. Like, that was going to be one of my hot takes, because everybody
very cool.
And I mean, that was a I mean, about the reaction to the other match was, like, so strong when it happened.
Yes.
And this has the benefit of... The thing is, people are going to rate this high, kind of like what we said about the evil, but the reverse. Because Naito won, it's automatically everyone's going to go crazy over it emotionally. But I thought it was a great match, once again. Naito and Okada, you know, classic rivalry. I mean, you want to talk about chemistry. These guys have wrestled so many times in so many ways. You had the built-in story. I thought that they did a great job of making working this match in a way where you had Naito really give his all, put his effort in, and take bumps that after the last match with the concussion selling and everything like that. I thought it really added to it overall. They did a great job. So I thought that both of these guys, great spectacle match as well. Like, this felt like a big, big match in a way none of the other matches in the tournament did, actually. Like, even the last match, I thought that was a great match, but this felt like the biggest match of the tournament. And it should, because final is,
And it was the biggest possible match they could do in this tournament.
Yeah, and so it should feel that way. And they succeeded. Like, they accomplished what they wanted to. I thought both men wrestled so well. Okada did a great job. It was a great kind of antagonist against Naito, as he's been in the past as well. They've had their ups and downs, but they've had some brilliant matches in the past, and I think this was another one to add into their line, because that was going to be what I was going to say. I thought this was the best match of the tournament, actually, more than the Ospreay one.
One minor gripe I have about the entire layout of this show is that after the Zanada and Evil match and the Zanada and Evil angle, there was no way that Okada was winning this main event match.
Yeah.
Because it wouldn't have made any sense. So they could have done something else to get a little bit more drama into this match, because everybody had to know that Naito was winning this tournament. But it's Okada, you know? And much like you say, always don't bet against Okada. So I think it was enough to just have Okada in the match to convince fans that he might be winning. And there were moments in the match where he came very close to winning this match. Really great kickouts. But first, this match had a great build. The first 10 to 15 minutes were just them teasing each other's offense and just trying to find out where the other stands right now, how worn out the other one is. And you said it with Naito and the quote-unquote concussion. We don't know if he really had one. There were moments in the match where he really sold it so well. For example, he did the Esperanza off the top rope on Okada, and he could have gone for the pinfall, but he just kneeled in the ring for a bit, just staring at the ring mat, and you could see that he was definitely going into this very hard, that fans were worried about him going into this match, and he made them invested even more with that. And then, of course, we went to the great finishing moments of the match. I said it, the Stardust Press once again missed. The Rainmaker. This is a counter sequence that I really like, because the moves blend so well together. When Naito countered the landslide into the Destino, that looked really great and very organic, unlike the Evil and Okada sequence. And when the last Destino hit, Sumo Hall really erupted. So they placed all the pieces of this match so well together. Great pacing, with a slow start and a great finish. I was so into this match, and I saw Chris Samsa tweet about it. This was the fourth longest G1 Climax match of all time, only shorter than the 2020 final of Ibushi versus Sanada, 35-12. 2018, Tanahashi versus Ibushi, 35-flat. And Naito versus Omega, 34-35. The first comment there is, those 34 minutes flew by, and I would completely agree with this one. I didn't think this felt like a match that went over half an hour.
Oh, and one thing I also love, too, is how they were able to wrestle their style and even make some callbacks here and there to certain things. But one thing I really loved that separated this match from their other matches is how there was a part in the match where they showed you that Okada was a direct heel here, where he had the pinfall, like the one-foot pinfall, and Red Shoes was like, nah, that's BS, I'm not going to count that. The crowd went nuts, booing Okada. Then he did it again to even more heat, and that's when the crowd really turned up. I mean, this is one of the hottest, if you're a crowd guy or a girl out there, if you want to see a hot fan base, this is what it looked like in this match more than pretty much any of their other shows, I would say. The fans were so into Naito winning here, and that's what made this match so special. And I love how they were able to separate this match from their past matches, where it was more Okada, or maybe Naito was the one everybody wanted to win, but Okada was still just his normal Rainmaker self. Here, he leaned into the heel stuff more, which he's been doing all year, obviously. It led perfectly to this match. And I think that's part of what escalated this match to be the best match of the tournament. The one that stood out over all the others was the crowd getting into it, the way they played their characters, more so than any move sequence or anything like that. I thought Okada was perfect as the antagonist towards Naito here, and I thought it was a great decision to have this as the final.
Yes. The decision that was the most logical one in the end, that got the biggest crowd behind it. So Tetsuya Naito got the G1 flag from Masahiro Chono. Masahiro Chono now is an honorary member of Los Ingobernables de Japón. He got the fist bump. Tetsuya Naito had a great speech in the end after he slipped up after the semifinal. He missed. Who did he miss? Did he miss Tsuji in this first call?
Oh no!
I don't remember. On the semifinal show, he did the call, and he missed one of the members of LIJ. But here he was complete on point, not missing any member. And this is a preview of what he wants to do at the Tokyo Dome, at the biggest possible stage for him. He wants to do the LIJ roll call, and that's the one thing that he's looking at now. Now, of course, also winning the title. And after the show, after the finish of the match, he had an interview backstage. He had a press conference backstage, and he was immediately confronted by Jeff Cobb, who defeated him on the second day of the G1 Climax. And that's going to be a match. Cobb said it, you can't be the G1 winner before you don't make up the loss to me. Interestingly, we didn't have Shane Haste here, who also defeated Tetsuya Naito. So I'm guessing they will just forget about that match.
Yes, that doesn't matter. That exactly. Was points control.
It doesn't matter, and ultimately it shouldn't, because they told us what they think about Shane Haste as a singles wrestler. Yeah, and it's going to be the one match with Jeff Cobb And then it's on road to Wrestle Kingdom.
And it makes sense because they're going to do LIJ versus the Empire with Tsuji go after Ospreay. Like, mm-hmm. they're going to do all those matches of the tour, pretty much. So that's pretty much why that's happening, more or less.
Yeah.
I guess they won't get rid of the briefcase like you wanted.
I guess we talk ourselves into a shoot every year, Dylan, but it's never going to happen.
No, not me. I wasn't buying that, what you were selling on there. So I don't know why they like this stupid-ass briefcase so much, but I know that they do.
They do.
So I do not think that they're going to get rid of it now or anytime
soon. The biggest stars in New Japan Pro Wrestling, actually.
The biggest star is the briefcase?
Yes.
Wow. I mean, that's a tough call. One thing I wanted to say...
It's well-protected.
And then they should protect other people more, but the thing is, I wanted to say this about the final show. There were times in the past where the final show was a big show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, second to only to Wrestle Kingdom, pretty much. You had title matches, you had surprises, yeah. you had them working with interpromotional stuff, and it being a big deal. This show was a complete nothing show outside of the main event.
It's been that for years. Actually,
and everyone would say, "Oh, it's the pandemic." Like now, they would want a big one, but they chose to go away from that, not go away from what they've been doing during the pandemic. Rather,
it's been that actually before the pandemic too.
Wow, Shibata came in 2020, right? Him and Zach had that match.
Oh yeah. That's right. That was the one surprise they had in the last couple of years. I'm just looking up the 2019 G1 Climax Final. Let me quickly look that up. August 12th, 2019 was a nothing show with only multi-man matches as well. Going to 2018. See if there was anything special.
So that's when Shibata came back.
That's when Shibata came back, yes. That was the return. Otherwise...
Regardless, no matter what was on the tournament, they still had at least something on there.
They did have a never open weight 6-man tag team title match on the show. And otherwise, they had Rey Mysterio on the show. Okay.
See, that's what I'm saying. So, like, for most part, all of those shows were bigger than what we got here. You just said you at least had something on here. This show, it like literally is a nothing show outside of the main event. And why? Why can't they, even if it's just, like you said, a tag match, like, why can't you do a title match on the show to make it feel like a big deal? Or a junior match. You're heading to this freaking Enzo festival that they're doing in America. You can't do a match here to set that up? Have Hiromu in a big match?
I think they want to save as many title and singles matches they can. Because
that's a fair point.
Because they knew that this one would be a good draw because of the Naito and Okada match.
That's honestly a completely reasonable point, honestly. But I still think that it would be benefit
them. They should load the show up more. I agree with you, definitely.
Yeah, no.
Fan perspective.
You were right on that. Like I said, your point was totally fair in that case. But I do think that it would benefit them in the future, though, to have more shows like that. And again, you don't have to load it up. But you could at least have something on the show. You could have a surprise, like somebody come out, or return, somebody maybe an interpromotional angle. Just run an angle on the show that nobody expected. Just give us something. Again, like even if it's just having like a Rey Mysterio level guy, that wasn't important to the grand scheme of things, but it was a nice surprise to have. Mm-hmm. Shibata coming back was a cool thing. You could do something like that. I mean, I don't know what it would have been on this show, but you could have done something is really my only point. And I think it would help the fans and it helped the show definitely to make it feel like not a complete waste of time until the main event overall.
Yeah, it pretty much was.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to watch these matches. None of them are really exciting. It's not that they are bad either, but they are all around like 3-star, 3.5-star level.
You will see matches quality literally 500 times this year, like if not better. So like you know, at the end of the day, and it's not like they really mean anything, like in terms of any stories or anything. They, like you said, they were able to set up some stuff with the Evil Sonata, questionable if it was good or not, but they set it up at least. Empire and LIJ, they at least have directions they're going overall, but it does feel like, because now we've got this big tournament win, and we're heading towards a Sonata and Evil match. There's not a lot of hot stuff on the mid. Hopefully they can heat up the juniors at least, because they do. They had a story on the Glade show with him and Tanaka, which was kind of interesting. If they want to
challenge Hiromu Takahashi,
and it makes perfect sense because he's the record holder. Like that Hiromu, that's now Hiromu's story. Is that he's going for the all time record for the junior title, which is held by him. Like Tanaka, it was held by Heat technically, but you know, that's a great match that they could do something with and at least have a story to it.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned Hiromu Takahashi because I actually wanted to talk about him as well. But before that, I think the G1 Climax. Let's go to the G1 Climax conclusion before we go to Hiromu.
Yeah.
The tournament overall, we had a tweet on our Eastern Lariat account, and we saw that there is a grade for the tournament between 1 and 8, and 1 and 10, and most of them
1 and 8. Yes.
Most of them actually landed around 5 and 6, and some at the 7. One even went as low as to say that it's a 2 out of 10 tournament. Yeah, I can't say this was a hot tournament. I can't say this was a good tournament. There was a lot of nothing in a lot of undercards. We said it that very early in the tournament. There were surprises. There were good surprises, like Michael Nichols, who laid that out as well. But ultimately, when you rate this as an entire tournament, I think I'd also go and say probably a 5 out of 10 tournament.
You forgot to mention when he gave it a 2 out of 10, he put Fraud of the Year, Gato. Yeah. So shout out to Hong Lam for that. For that. Yes, he's telling the truth right now, I would say. we gotta mention that part at least.
Gospel according to Hong Lam.
Absolutely. I put up a few, like, little awards, like nothing major, like the happy awards, but just a few little categories that I thought were interesting to look at. I think it's, now that I look at this, actually, Okada and Naito and Ospreay and Naito had, like, kind of a similar amount of votes, so that's a good,
yeah,
you know,
you can go either way.
Yeah, they were both great matches. You're right about that. We had one for Eddie and Ishii as well. That's a match everybody liked a lot. A lot of people liked a lot, too. Even Shingo and Eddie was there. Marino coming in with the Shingo love right now. You had some stuff with Hanari, Tsuji, Shota, Kid as all gain stuff. I think all of those guys gain stuff from the tournament in their own ways. I would probably pick Umino, Hanari, and Mad Mikey. And the thing is, I everybody knows, like, Hanari was all right. Like, I liked him well enough, but Mikey really captured my heart in this tournament. I thought he was one of my favorite people to watch. I don't know if it'll mean anything long term.
That's the thing. You can't say that these two gained a lot when you talk about footing in the company. They gained respect from the fans' eye, but when you look at someone who was really a breakout star, who even in the eyes of the company is one, that's Shota Umino.
Yeah, that would have been my pick as well if Dad asked me that. But I like I said, I still want to give Mikey some props as well. Hopefully, if anything, if he gained anything, I hope that they let him in the tournament again next year, if anything. And I thought that he really impressed. He was a guy I had no expectations for, but he really proved me wrong. And I love seeing that. If I come in down on somebody and they do great, I really love that. But as you said, a lot of the votes, you had 5. Yeah, 5 to 7 was basically here. Nothing above 7 in any of the comments so far. And like I said, 2 for Lam there. But yeah, you know, when I look at just the match ratings, I think this tournament was kind of underrated a little bit. Like, just in terms of quality, I don't think it was as bad as people think it was or say it was. The problem is that every show, you know, pretty much every show had at least one good recommendable match. Maybe not a great one, maybe not one that will stand out. Mm-hmm. But there was at least a good match, probably multiple good matches, and maybe a great match every now and then. You know, you had, I would say there was 10 to 20 matches that really stood out, like that were legit great matches. The problem is that there's so many matches that for every great match, there's one that is like 2.5 star, 3 star.
That's what drags it down for me.
Exactly. Like, for every great match, there's five that are, like, 2 to 3 stars. And then you're also... Another issue, I think, they really did a poor job of booking these blocks out. I mentioned my problems with the A block, having all of the young guys in the same blocks, I think really didn't help in the grand scheme of things. I thought that was a big mistake in the long run. And every block had somebody that was dragging things down, pretty much. Yeah. You know, in A block, you had Owens, which is not as bad as the other three, but then you have Kenta, who you were just not going to get a good match out of, unless you're Will Ospreay, pretty much, and he has to really try hard for that. Evil, Yano, it's like a Coughlin even in the same block. So you're like, there are guys who are struggling, and then when you have, suddenly that becomes one guy who's struggling to like five guys that are struggling, and that's when it becomes a problem. So, yeah, to me, I would say, and for all the criticism of this tournament, they stuck the landing at the end.
Yes,
like,
they did.
You know, because this show did a good number, again, relatively speaking, and Naito's win was fantastic, and it made perfect sense at the end. So I do think there's good to be had in this tournament. You had some people really shine and do some good things. I may not be as down on it as some people, but I couldn't go above... I give it about a 6, I think. You know, I'll go a little higher, but it wasn't special. Like, at the end of the day, like, there was just not a lot special about this tournament. And at the end of the year, I think that's going to play out where you're not going to see... Maybe the last two Naito matches might get up there, but I didn't see really any matches that... By the end of the year, when we do our awards, I'll be surprised if there's a ton of votes for even the last two, to be honest with you, in terms of matches.
Yeah. I think even those matches that are mentioned here, the Shingo and Kingston match, or even what else was mentioned? Let's see.
It was mostly the Naito matches, and there's one for Eddie and Ishii and one for...
Yeah, Eddie. And those matches will be forgotten by the end of the year.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like, even this final match, I'd be surprised if it made a splash.
I think the Naito and Ospreay and the Naito and Okada match have a fair chance of getting votes at the end of the year, but probably
I don't think they'll beat Ospreay and Omega.
I don't think so either, but there will be people voting for these matches.
And maybe there will, like I said, I don't think it'll make a big splash. Ultimately.
No.
And I think even like the Big Japan match stood out more than that. If you're going to vote for an outsider match, if you don't want to vote for Ospreay or whatever.
Ashi-Aoki match?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I agree. Yeah, so that's the G1 Climax for this year, Dylan. Quickly, since you mentioned Hiromu Takahashi... Hiromu Takahashi and El Desperado were on this show, on the G1 final show. And of course, they were on some New Japan shows during the summer. But for the most part, these two took an outside tour. Hiromu Takahashi, on July 2nd, went to Dragon Gate. He defeated Yamato there on that weekend. El Desperado teamed with Jun Kasai against Homicide and John Moxley, and he lost to John Moxley in their death match that got a lot of coverage online. Then, July 23rd, El Desperado defeated Daisuke Sasaki at DDT Wrestle Peter Pan. And then there was a show from Freedoms on Friday, Freedoms Yokohama Gold Rush in Yokohama Budokan, that did a great number for a company on the level of Freedoms. They drew 1,286 fans. Remember the first day of the N1 in the same building did 800 fans. Very tragic ending to the show where Tomoya Hirata broke his ankle 7 minutes into the match when he was supposed to catch a dive from Toru Sugiura. And Sugiura was then awarded the King of Freedom world title, but he didn't want to. It was a very tragic ending to an otherwise, I thought, pretty good show. I rated the Thumbtack Board and Razor Cross Board Alpha Deathmatch at 9.0. This has an 8.23 rating. El Desperado and Jun Kasai defeated Masashi Takeda and Rina Yamashita. And on that same show, Hiromu Takahashi and Tatsuhiro Takaiwa defeated Dragon Libre and Takahiro Katoi. My point here, comparing these two and their summer, is, Dylan, I liked El Desperado's summer much more than Hiromu Takahashi's.
He got to work more death matches.
He got to work the better matches. Even the El Desperado and Daisuke Sasaki match, when you compare it to Hiromu and Yamato, I thought this was a better match.
I don't agree with that. That was like a nothing match to me. That's a Sasaki Desperado match. I mean, he's like living passion projects right now, Desperado. Like, wrestling Sasaki's wanted to do that for years, wrestling these death matches. It's nothing that impresses me, to be honest, but...
I'm really impressed by that, by the way that the deathmatch was laid out on the Freedom Show. I loved the Desperado and Kasai tag team once again. I said it on Twitter. If these two were wrestling more often as a tag team, I'd vote them tag team of the year. So strong. I just love what Desperado is doing.
Yeah, him and Kasai, that's great, but where is this going for them?
That's the question, where is this going?
That's the problem.
Like, if I was New Japan, since they put it on their own streaming service, since they put the show on New Japan World, I'd put Desperado and Jun Kasai in the Super Junior Tag Tournament.
And that's cool and all, again, but the thing is, for both of them, not just Desperado, but Hiromu, you can make the same case for.
Yeah.
The fact that they're letting them do these like vanity projects over and over shows you how little they actually mean to the grand scheme of New Japan.
The like, grand scheme of things, they are not focused in the summer, so they get to do these outside things. That's true.
Exactly. Like, you know, this is stuff you'd see like Nagata and Kojima doing. You know, you don't see Okada doing stuff like this with other companies. And I mean, we know that Desperado is not really a draw for them when they've tried like in the past with him and Okada, but Hiromu is somebody that has had success and done great things. And it's always one of those weird things to me. He is somebody that, in my opinion, should definitely be a regular G1 participant. Never mind his wrestling, just for his star power. I think that they need somebody like him because there's loads of guys that nobody cares about in these G1s at the end of the day. They need people that connect with the fans. And for some reason, he's been on this junior tour, which... It's as a fan, it's cool to see like these matches, like having Desperado, like you said, the death match on the Strong Show was a good match, was with Moxley teaming with Kasai. But you want to see these guys do major things, like big things, and instead they're just doing these like outside stuff for some reason. And I don't know if that says a lot about their standing in New Japan.
Yeah, but since they had a very similar summer, you mentioned the junior title situation. They haven't wrestled in quite some time, right? I can see one of those matches on tour of on the road of Hiromu Takahashi to get the highest number of defenses be against El Desperado again. When they compare their summers, that could be a nice little story there.
Yeah, I'm not interested in that. We've seen that so many times. I think they need new people like in there with Hiromu, and I just
who are these new people?
Yeah, exactly. Like, where are you going to get these new people at the end of the day? It's like we've seen him in Desperado a million times. Like, at the end of the day, there's nothing. There's no new ground they can really cover.
That's definitely true. But
yeah,
then again, great, who are these
it's
new
nothing
people?
Against, it's nothing against them. They're great workers. Like, everybody knows that. Like, you know, at the end of the day, nobody's doubting Desperado's skills or that he's not worthy of the title. Like, he is. But we've seen it so many times. And they need to do something different.
I have some bad news for you. That is not going to happen.
You think it'll be Desperado again?
I think they will be a title. I think he's going to be one of those title matches in the next coming months.
What about at the Dome? That's really the only one that matters.
It could be in the Dome.
Yeah, because if he just wrestles him, that's fine. If he just wrestles him on a tour or whatever, that's fine. It doesn't have any real stakes or anything.
Last time they were in a match together, I think, was at Wrestle Kingdom, right? It was the four-way.
Yeah.
When was their last
four-way?
Well, they could. When was their last singles match? Their last singles match was in June of last year, best of the Super Junior Final.
Yeah, and Hiromu won.
Yep.
Yeah, everybody wanted Desperado to win the tournament.
Yep.
Yeah, I remember
well,
that.
It was just a little detour to see what these two did during the summer. I know that you were not excited. I was about Desperado, but... Well.
Yeah, like, none of this stuff is really that big of a deal in the grand scheme of things, ultimately. And
but it doesn't have to be a big deal to be excited for it.
That Hiromu and Yamato match was so disappointing, on top of it. You know.
Yes, That's why I said I liked the Desperado and Daisuke Sasaki match better.
You know, Desperado, like I said, getting to do his passion. Hey, it's good for them. It's like I said, they get to live their dreams and stuff. I'm not going to take anything away from them. I don't know.
You're not into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's all I have. for this show, Dylan. You're going to go back to covering the Stardom tournament, the Stardom 5-star Grand Prix, as well as the N1 victory. Glad for you that you have a little bit of a pause right now with the N1 pausing too, so I can catch up as well. But otherwise, on the Patreon, you'll get all the goods for the 5-star Grand Prix.
Yeah, I never stopped covering it, but I will continue to cover. They cannot stop me from talking about these tournaments, whether it's Stardom or Noah or anyone else, I would say. But, the tournaments, again, I talked about the Noah one earlier. I thought they had a good tournament so far, actually. Like, despite whatever you want to say about the company or stars or booking or whatever, in terms of wrestling, I think that they've been very enjoyable to watch. And the Stardom tournament's been really great, I think, for the most part. I think they're really picking up as time went along. They had that, like, two-show stretch where they were in those, like, small crowds and stuff. And then after that, they've been hitting on, you know, a lot of the cylinders, they can say. I don't want to say all cylinders, but a lot of them. They have a lot of good matches on there. You know, Shuri and Natsupoi doing some big things. Poi getting a big push and doing some great things with it. I know they had the Stardom X Stardom show today. I haven't seen it yet because I'm watching the G1 final pretty much. But they did some interesting things on that. I'm very interested to see the tag title match going on and see how that comes across. But I think they have a lot of cool stuff going on there as well in Stardom. And they have this Konami and Mirai match they built up to that's going to happen next month. So I'm interested. They were in Osaka Edion too for that, the show today. They got the Legends show coming up. So you got the tournament, you got Legends shows, you got title matches. It's a good tournament. And Noah doing some big things there. I'm very interested to see where they go and how they integrate Kaito back after this G1. Get him back into Noah.
Yeah, definitely a point that I wanted to make, that Kaito Kiyomiya apparently is someone that could help out the N1 to get some more fan attraction, and that's maybe the point that they wanted to achieve with him in the G1 climax. But ultimately, he could have been a player for this tournament to get more attention on it.
Yeah, because I think you would have people speculating, at least. They did that in the G1 even. Like, a lot of people were speculating about him being a major player in that.
Yep.
So obviously, in Noah, he would definitely get that kind of fan talk. But, I mean, we've talked about him a lot on this show, so if that's what they wanted, right. I guess they
would have done it. They would have done it, but when I see these houses, I mean, yep. That's another one of those decisions.
Yeah, I don't think he would have made any difference, really, like to the Noah show. At the end of the day, he would have made the tournament better, for sure. But I can't see them. I think there's bigger problems than just... There's no one person that can help all of Noah's problems, I would say. There's a lot of interesting things going on in there, but we'll see how that goes overall. So I don't even think about the booking too much with that tournament. I just kind of turn my brain off when I watch Noah. And they have, if you just watch them for wrestling, they have a lot of good stuff there overall. But there's no stars or anything like that. Like, don't get me wrong on that or anything. But still though, good tournament if you're a wrestling fan. If you're finally done with the G1, you want some more wrestling, I think N1 and Stardom, especially the Stardom tournament, I think would be really well worth your time, I would say.
Yes, N1 as well. So if you're looking for more tournaments, there definitely is some meat to that. Yeah, that's it, Dylan. Our coverage comes to an end. I want to thank you. I want to thank the listeners. This has been a great route, but like I said at the beginning of the show, my favorite period of the year. Now it comes to a conclusion. New Japan's summer officially is over, and we are going to have the Road to Destruction that starts on September 8th. What big shows do we have? Let's see.
Hey, before we get to that, I wanted to ask you about something. What do you think about the Royal Road tournament?
Oh, yeah. The Royal Road tournament. Let me see, the brackets, Royal Road. Yeah, the Odo tournament, the Royal Road tournament, starting on August 19, actually. I think they got some interesting matches. I'm looking at Zuwama versus Fuminori Abe in the first round. Could be an upset. I said it to Rob on Twitter. I'm calling the finish right now with Fuminori Abe getting the win with the Hurricane Rana pin. on Suwama. Suwama appeared on the DDT show as well, too. So there's a lot of interpromotion stuff going on.
Him and Akiyama.
Yep.
Jibber-jabbering.
the big match. Two big matches in the first round. Kento Miyahara and Azuki Aoyagi and Yuma Aoyagi and Ryokyu Honda. That could, in the second round, lead right away to Kento Miyahara versus Yuma Aoyagi. Do you think that during that match in the second round?
No, Honda's going to upset
Yuma. I guess so, too. Yeah.
I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Makes sense, because it would kind of be a waste for Miyahara and Aoyagi in the second round.
Yeah, that would be silly. But, I mean, you know, anything's possible.
Right. Yeah, the tournament itself looks good, with Takuya Nomura, Ren Ayabe, Hayato Tamura in it, outsiders in the tournament. Looks good. I'm into the tournament. I'm into the brackets that they have. It's going to be a nice little tournament as well.
Yeah, I think Kento's going to win, but I do think they have some good matches. Set up too. I like seeing Tamura in the tournament as well. Mm-hmm. I think he's gonna have some big matches there. I could see him upsetting Suwama actually more than Abe. I think him and Kento would be a great match to have too.
Mm-hmm.
Nomura and Kojima is gonna be interesting in the second round. How that plays out politically. Like, would they let a New Japan guy go under a Big Japan guy? I wonder.
I don't think so. The thing is, with Kojima, how do you get Kojima out of these tournaments is the thing. And they could easily do it with Rei Saito upsetting him with Voodoo Murderous shenanigans in the first round.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I could totally see that, actually. Now you think about that. Give Nomura a bit of a run. Yeah, Nomura Kento final. I could get down with that.
Oh, yeah. Makes sense, given their history as a tag team, sure.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I like that idea. I think I agree with you on that. I have Saito eliminate Kojima and let Nomura break through, get some big wins, beat the big dog in the semifinals, and set up a great final. I mean, that could be an epic match if they do it. So,
yep.
Lots of potential good matches, too. Even Kento and Atsuki could be a great match. See Abe in the tournament, like you said, with him and Suwama. I think that match will be silly to watch, but it'll be fun at least. And Tamura, like I said, I have high hopes for him as well. So you got a lot of good stuff going on here. So I just wanted to bring that up real quick.
Yes, absolutely. We'll talk about the bigger shows that they have in September, some point on our next shows, the cards they have lined up, including Kairi there. Yes, the tournament looks nice. I'm looking forward to it. And they had a preview show on the weekend. I'm going to get into that probably early next week when everything is said and done here. We done now?
I guess so.
I guess so. Yes. Thank you for riding with us during the summer, during G1 season. This has been the Eastern Lariat. Goodbye.
Sayonara.
This is the MLW Radio Network.